Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God for another blessing. And praise Him for He is worthy of all of our praise. In fact, I praise God every morning that He allows me to be able to wake up. And not only do I praise Him for He allowed me to wake up, but I also praise Him for He permitted me to get up. For I submit to you this morning that there were many who woke up but were unable to get up. Praise God for another blessing to come into the house of the Lord. I believe the old folks said where prayers can be heard and mercy can be found. To your honored and esteemed pastor, our brother in Christ, Pastor Troy Hodge, to the ministers of the gospel who share this pulpit, and to you, the regular Baptist church, my brothers and sisters in Christ and sinners, should there be any. I tell you, after that solo, I was just ready to give the benediction. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank your pastor for inviting me to share with you on this morning. And congratulations to these ushers on their anniversary. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Hyde for those words of presentation. I want you to know I paid him to say all of that. Amen. He called me. I was out of town all of last week. He called me and asked me, would I come? I said, sure. You know, I had to tell one preacher. He called me one day and he said, listen, do you still go out and preach now since you're president of the convention? I said, listen, man, the Lord called me to preach. Amen.
Amen.
And, so no position stands ahead of that. And so I thank God for that. And, of course, I don't want to be like the preacher who went to preach a revival. And you preached the first night, and a sister came up to him following the worship, and she said, you're something else. And then he preached the next night, and following the worship, she said, you're something else. And then the last night of the revival, he preached, and she came up to him, and she said to him, once again, you're something else. He said, sister, you say that to me every night. What do you mean by that? She said, well, you're something else. You're no preacher, but you're something else. So I hope when I leave today, you don't say he's just something else. But I thank God for being with you today, and I know that you have another worship, and I must get on to New Zion, but as always, I just need your prayers.
Amen.
As we try to share a word from the Lord. Come with me, if you will, to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Psalm 137.
Amen.
Psalm 137, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 137, beginning at verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? God bless you. This is for a few moments from the thought that I believe is found in this text simply, can you praise God in a bad situation? Can you praise God in a bad situation? I'm quite sure that I have some witnesses here this morning that if you have lived any time upon the face of this earth, that every now and then life will present you with some bad situations. I submit to you this morning that if you have never been in a bad situation, just keep on living. If you've never experienced a bad situation, just keep saying good morning and good night. If you have never experienced a bad situation, I say to you, just keep walking along the road of life, and sooner or later, you will find yourself presented with a bad situation. You know what they are. Imagine, if you will, for a time this morning, that father or that husband, yes, who works all week long to take care of his family. And then on Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, along with his paycheck, he receives a pink slip. He's got to go home and face his wife and children who are depending upon him for material and physical support. Tell them that daddy has been laid off. Indeed, he finds himself in a bad situation. I'll think for a moment, if you will, about that individual who goes to their regular doctor's appointment, their yearly physical or checkup. And after going through all of the rigors of that examination and thinking that everything is all right, a few days later they receive a phone call from the nursing assistant saying that you need to come back in for a battery of some more tests because we found something rather abnormal. Yes, they go back for those tests, and then they receive another call saying that you have an incurable disease. You need to notify the rest of your family, for you only have a few months to live. Yes, I don't need to tell you this morning that they have found themselves in a bad situation. But then if that didn't strike you, maybe this will pick up some folk. Imagine coming home one evening, placing your key in the door. As you open the door to the house that you are familiar with, that you have been living in for years, along with your spouse, you find in the first room the walls and are bare. You go to the second room, and there are no furnishings, and the walls there are bare. Then you get to the bedroom, and you find that everything has been taken out except one nightstand. And on that nightstand, there is a card. And you open up the card, and you begin to read it, and it says, sorry, I had to go. I just don't love you anymore. And I've taken the children, I've taken the furniture, and we moved to a new location. If you please don't try to contact me. I just believe this morning that there are some witnesses here that you are in a bad situation. But my brothers and sisters, the question is, can you praise God in the midst of your bad situation? to the Lord's house on a Sunday morning when your pockets are filled with money. Yes, it's easy to come when all of your bills have been paid. It's easy to come when the blood is running warm in your veins and there are no diseases racking your body. It's easy to come when you know you got a job to go to on tomorrow morning. It's easy to come when your children are acting all right and your spouse is acting all right. But what will you do in a bad situation? I submit to you this morning that in this text, the children of Israel found themselves in a bad situation. Although I will admit that part of it was because of their disobedience. Yeah. While they were living good, they forgot about God. I can tell you, there are a whole lot of folk like that. Once they start to live in good, they forget about God. Once they get two nickels to rub together, they forget about God. Yeah, and once they're able to have a change of outfit, they forget about God. Yeah, when they're able to move up from a Chevrolet to a Cadillac, they forget about God. When they're able to transfer their residence from the ghetto into the suburbs, they forget about God. And I don't want to mess with anybody here, but listen, and then when they get to a certain place, they get out the black church and go to the white church, they forget about God. The black preacher can't preach to them no longer. They forget about God. That's how the children of Israel were. And now they find themselves down in Babylonian captivity. Yes, and now they've had the opportunity or the chance, if you will, to see what happens or to deal with the results of forgetting about the goodness of God. Yeah. You do know sometimes we just take the blessings of God for granted. Yeah. We get up in the morning, go about our daily activities and do whatever it is we want to do, and we forget about the fact that in Him we live. Move and have our being. So the question is, can you really praise God, church? Believers, can you really praise God? Saints of God, can you still praise God in the midst of your bad situation? Look what happens in the text. They couldn't praise. First of all, emotionally, they had a problem. Listen to what they say in that first verse. They say that by the rivers of Babylon. By the banks of the river Shebar. By the rivers of Babylon. Listen to how Ezekiel talks about it when he was down there in captivity with them. And Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat. I sat in the misery. I wallowed in the despondency, the disappointment, and the dejection that they experienced. Yes, and here they say that when we sat by the rivers of Babylon, they say that we wept. Yeah. We wept when we remembered Zion. They wept. Listen, now there are tears of joy, but there are also tears of sorrow. And they say, when we thought about Zion, when we remembered our homeland, when we thought about all that we had and all that we experienced there, and here we are in Babylon, cut off from the homeland, cut off from our familiar places, and all we could do was sit down and cry. Cry. Well, when you were in a bad situation, that's your first inclination to cry. You will cry. They said that we wept. We cried. They wept tears of sorrow. Can I tell you this morning that in this life, every now and then you will have to cry. There'll come a time. In fact, the late Dr. A. Prince Faulkner used to say that we live in a world of tears. And then he also said that we do things to make each other cry. Oh, yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes husbands will make wives cry. Wives will make husbands cry. Children will make parents cry. Friends will make friends cry. In this life, you've got to cry every now and then. They said, oh, we wept. See, when they should have been praising, they were weeping. They were crying because of their pitiful and sorrowful situation. But let me remind you, yes, I know we have to cry every now and then, but if you are a child of God, you ought to understand that tears are not the end. If you are a child of God, you ought to open up the Word of God in your hour of sorrow and learn how to praise God and read where it said weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Every now and then you have to cry, but you don't ought to understand that we have a Savior who's able to come down from the sky and dry your weeping eyes. Every now and then you have to cry, but you ought to understand that God's got a handkerchief that is able to wipe your tears away. Every now and then you have to cry, but you ought to understand that trouble don't last always, because we've got a God who's able to bring us out of trouble. We've got a God who's able to bring us through trouble. We've got a God who's able to bring us over trouble. We've got a God who's able to bring us under trouble. If you stay right there, you may have to cry sometime, but thank God crying don't last always, because joy cometh in the morning. There is joy in the midst of your sorrow. You can have joy. I hear Jesus saying, in this life you'll have trials and tribulations, but in me you can find peace and you can have joy. Does anybody know it's a joy that the world can't give and the world can't take it away? I'm so glad that no matter what is going on in my life, I can still have joy. I can have joy. I can have joy. I can have joy in the midst of my tears. I can have joy. Won't be long, but can you praise God in a bad situation? Well, not only did they have a problem emotionally, but they had a problem devotionally. Because look what they said while they were there. They said that we hanged our hearts up on the willows. Yeah, you are familiar with the harp. Yeah, this instrument that we find in the Old Testament. Yeah, you do remember that David. Yeah, David was a skilled harpist. Yes, you do remember that when Saul would have fits of madness, yeah, they would send for David, and David would play upon the harp. Yeah, the sweet melodic sounds of the harp. Yeah, evidently the harp was also used in the temple worship. Yes, now I know there's always been controversies in our churches about instruments and instrumentation, but when I read the Bible, it says let everything. Yeah. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And it also says the harp and the cymbal and all that other stuff with a solemn sound. And it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now let me rest and tell you that it ought to be a noise or a sound that is pleasing to the Lord. The church ought not sound like a disco, ought not sound like a ballroom, but it ought to sound like the church. And there ought to be a praise in the Lord's church, and nothing wrong with praising him with the harp. Nothing wrong with praising him on the drums. Nothing wrong with praising him on the organ. Nothing wrong with praising him on the piano. We ought to praise the Lord. Look what they did. They said we hung our harps up. Yeah, on the willows. We took our harps and we hung them up on the trees. Yeah, in other words, the harps went silent. Yeah, yeah, you see, there are a whole lot of silent people in the church. And what do you mean by that? Well, now, they're pretty good at praising between these four consecrated walls. But what about your testimony on your job? And I'm not saying you got to walk around with a big old Bible in your hand every day. I'm not saying you got to walk around with a cross dangling around your neck like you're going to meet Count Dracula. But now, you ought to have a testimony that when somebody sees you, they ought to know that you're a child of God. You ought to have a testimony that if somebody observes you, they ought to know you're a child of God. I hear Jesus saying, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You ought to have a testimony. That's what they did. Because they were in a bad situation, they hung their hearts up. Oh, but I want to tell you this morning, you ought not hang your harp up. No, you ought to be able to make a sound wherever you are. Oh, no, hang your harp up. You ought to tell somebody that I know God for myself. Yeah, no, hang your harp up. See, when I read Psalm 73, the writer said, I was almost ready to hang my harp up. Said, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. Yeah, when I looked at the dope dealer and he had a better house than I had. When I looked at my neighbor who don't praise the Lord and they got a better automobile than I had. Ready to give up when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. But look what he said. I went to the Lord's house. And when I went to the Lord's house, I got a different understanding. When I went to the Lord's house, I heard somebody say, the Lord is good. When I went to the Lord's house, I heard somebody say, his mercy endureth forever. When I went to the Lord's house, I heard somebody say, the Lord is my life and my salvation. When I went to the Lord's house, I heard somebody say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When I went to the Lord's house, I heard somebody say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. When I went to the Lord's house and I thought about the goodness of the Lord, I couldn't hang my harp up, but I had to open up my mouth and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You ought to be able to praise the Lord. Can you praise God in a bad situation? Well, not only did they have a problem emotionally and devotionally, but they also had a problem theologically. Yeah, because look what happened. Look. They said, those who plundered us. Yeah, those who wasted us. Yeah, those who had us in captivity. Yeah, those who put chains around our necks and chains around our legs. Those who worked us from sun up to sundown. Yeah, they looked at us and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm so glad our foreparents were not like these folk. Yeah, our foreparents were in slavery in this country, but yet they still were able to have a witness. Oh, don't you hear them saying, steal away. Yeah, steal away to Jesus. Don't you hear them out there in the cotton fields of the South saying, I'm going to ride the chariot. Yeah, I want to get on the morning train. Yeah. Don't you hear our foreparents out there when they didn't have no hope and their life was filled with despair? One thing they didn't know, that Jesus died for them. That he got up from the grave and that he went back to heaven and that he's coming back again. They had a witness. Look how they looked at it. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Yeah, we heard about your temple worship. Yeah, we've heard how you get in your church house and how you can praise God. Yeah, we've heard about how you can lift up your holy hands. Yeah, we've heard about how your choirs are adorned in their beautiful robes.
that we've heard about your preacher, how he stands and expounds on the word so eloquently. That we've heard about your stained glass windows. We've heard about your million-dollar budgets. And we've heard all about your auxiliaries and your departments. We've heard that y'all folk really know how to praise your God. Can I tell you today that whatever you're going through, somebody's looking at you. Yeah. When you're a child of God, somebody on your job is watching you when you're going through your difficulties. Yeah, they're looking at you. They're looking to see if you're going to come to work every day with a chip on your shoulder. They're looking to see if you're going to show up mad with the word. Look, they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But look how they responded. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They had a theological problem. Yeah, you see, they thought they could only praise God in Israel, specifically in the temple of Jerusalem. Yeah, they didn't feel that they could praise God down in Babylon. But can I tell you today that we serve a God who is an omnipresent God? Does anybody know he's an omnipresent God? Yeah, look, you see, they had a theological problem. They forgot what David said. David said, where can I flee from your presence? Yeah, they forgot what David said. He said, if I go into the heavens, you are there. He said, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings and go to the uttermost part of the earth, there thy hand shall lead me. We've got a God who's everywhere. And you ought to be able to praise God when you're on your job. You ought to be able to praise God when you're driving in your car. You ought to be able to praise God when you're walking down the street. You ought to praise God in your secret closet. You ought to praise God when you're in the hospital room. You ought to be able to praise God in the courtroom. You ought to be able to praise God when you're on your sick bed. You ought to be able to praise God when you're down to your last dime. You ought to be able to praise God when you ain't got nobody. You ought to be able to praise God when you lose your job. You ought to be able to praise God when you lose your help. You ought to be able to praise God if ain't nobody else praising him but you. When you think about the goodness of the Lord and all he has done for you, you ought to be able to praise God. Can you praise God in a bad situation? Every now and then you find yourself in a bad situation. But I hear the psalmist saying that I will bless the Lord at all times. He said, no matter whether I'm up or I'm down, I will bless the Lord at all times. When I'm dressed in a tailor-made suit or I got my clothes from the Salvation Army, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether I'm driving a fancy car or I have to catch the RTA bus, I will praise the Lord at all times. Whether I'm living in the project or living in the suburbs, I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether I'm eating steak or I'm eating hamburger, I will bless the Lord at all times. And look what he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you wake up in the morning, before you get on the phone and start the gossiping, his praise ought to be in your mouth. Before you turn the TV on to look at CNN, his praise ought to be in your mouth. Before you open up the newspaper to find out what's going on, his praise ought to be in your mouth. Before you get dressed to go to work, his praise ought to be in your mouth. I believe I got some witnesses here. You got something to praise God for, because he woke you up early this morning. You got something to praise God for. He watched over you all night last night. You got something to praise God for. He put shoes on your feet. You got something to praise God for. He put food on your table. You got something to praise God for. He put a roof over your head. You got something to praise God for. You got eyes and you're able to see. You got something to praise God for. You got hands and you can feel. You got something to praise God for. You got legs and you're able to walk. You got something to praise God for. Well, that's not all. Can you praise God in a bad situation? Well, come on here, Job. If Job was here this morning, he'd tell you, I was in a bad situation. I lost all my livestock, all my cattle, all my oxen, all my camels, and all my asses. I was in a bad situation. I lost all my children, my sons, and my daughters, and my grandchildren. I was in a bad situation, and I lost my good health. I had boils from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I was in a bad situation. And then Sister Job told me, you ought to curse God and just die. I was in a bad situation. But then I looked around and I said, in all of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. If there anybody here who can wait until your change comes while you're in your bad situation, I heard him say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And Job said, naked I came here, and naked I'm going to leave here, but I'm going to keep on praising the Lord in my bad situation. I heard Paul say to the Philippians, I learned how to be a base, and I know how to abound, no matter about my situation, because I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You know why? Because my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I can praise him. I can praise him. I can praise him because he's been good. Anybody knows he's been good? Anybody knows he's been good? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Ain't he all right? Yeah! 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 Ain't he all right? 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do I have a witness here? Do you know he's all right? Have they ever tried him? Has he been good to you? 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 Did he make a way out of no way? Did he make a way out of no way? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yeah! 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 He will! He Do you know he will? Do you know he will? Do you know he will? Do you